Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. We got 24 and a half more minutes here on the program today. Thanks for listening. Today's Wednesday, January the 31st, 2024. I'm Tim with Ed and Wesley, and joining us now is Steve Paisley-Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
You got the abstract art shirt today?
Wesley has deigned this as tie-dye.
Well, that's a tie-dye?
I don't think it's technically a tie-dye.
It's like watercolors to me.
Yeah.
A watercolor shirt.
Huh? Watercolor would be more accurate. We're all about being accurate on the program.
Yeah.
So we got to get this right.
Yes. And eliminating our filler words.
Yes.
Wesley, you looked this up, didn't you, Wesley? What are the most common filler words that we as humans use?
Let me look. Here we go. It's
Yeah.
Like, you know, or all right. Those are the most common. Now, if you go on and read this particular article, they get so far to say that there's filler phrases. So, like, needless to say, or therefore.
A lot of people use so anyway.
However,
at the end of the day,
after
the fourth, at the end of the day, in about a 5-minute conversation with somebody, I do feel the need to intervene.
Or for what it's worth, basically
things like that.
The only thing is, I think that's awful critical because how else are you supposed to? You get too far along in here. How else are you supposed to communicate on a long day? You know, but I guess
when I was a kid, the old timers used to, my dad would be talking to somebody. My dad wasn't an old timer when I was a kid. He was in his 30s, but I just remember this expression would come up all the time. They would say, and things of that nature.
Things of that nature.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
We'll have to bring that one back.
You could be talking about, okay, what are you going to have for lunch today? Well, I'll have a club sandwich, a Caesar salad, and things of that nature.
We've all got one that does bother us, and I do have one that does bother me.
Okay.
So it's called the bottom line.
So the
bottom line. And the only reason is because I follow a particular gentleman on YouTube who does a really good job at discussing hunting and habitat management and all things related to hunting, which is very educated and smart. And he's a lot of experience, which I enjoy. It's a passion of mine I enjoy. So I'm watching him. And now I'm at the point, as smart and as intelligent and as good as he is on the issue that I'm going to learn from him for, I can no longer get any information of him because all I'm sitting there is counting how many times he's going to say, well, the bottom line is, the bottom line is. And I was sitting there with Chelsea. Right. At this point, I'm about a year into watching him. And at this point, all I hear is the bottom line. And I told Chelsea, she was sitting there beside me, who's not interested in this at all. I was like, just help me here.
Right.
See how many times he says the bottom line in 15 minutes. I'm giving him a hard time, but it's something that once you, as Ed was mentioning during the break, once you catch someone's filler word, it's hard to unhear it.
Okay. So the bottom line is you're not going to watch it.
The bottom line.
I was going to say, you should just never have told me that.
The bottom line.
Because now I'm going to slip it in every chance I get.
Well, I hear you.
Guys, at the end of the day, go ahead.
What bugs me is when somebody misspeaks a phrase.
Purposefully or accidentally?
Accidentally.
Okay, I got you.
Like, right. I've heard people say, for all intensive purposes.
Yes. or irregardless.
Irregardless.
Irregardless. Such word.
Somebody actually said if he has the mustard to do that.
And people say it's cut the mustard.
Yeah, something around that.
Like, yeah, it's cut the mustard.
What is it the phrase say people say that... They say that expresses, it doesn't matter, that they say it wrong. In other words.
Irregardless?
Maybe irregardless, but it's something, I'll think about it, some other expression that people use.
Now, my wife would be better to speak at this. She's a speech pathologist, but there is a psychological or something that happens in our brain when we say,
I know what it is. Excuse me, Steve.
No, go ahead.
One of my problems is interrupting, but I am self-aware. You know what I'm saying?
You just can't help it.
And I say that a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But people, doggone it. Now it's
you lost it.
Well, I couldn't care less.
Oh, right. Yes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Right.
People often say, I could care less.
Yeah.
Oh, so you could care less. Yeah. But they could care less than you do right now?
Why don't you try it? Try caring.
Show
less.
Me how you could care less. When they meant to say, I couldn't.
Right.
I don't have it in front of me. I need to bring it next week when I'm on. But Tim Hawkins, who's a Christian comedian, he has got a YouTube video with all of the most misused or phrases that we're talking about, and then he goes on each one of them. He gives a pretty good tangent commentary on it, as you just did.
And they're pretty fun.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Yep.
All right.
There we go. Okay.
That's okay.
We're not judging today. We're going to switch our topic to something more serious here. Alistair Begg, the well-known pastor from Ohio, Truth for Life radio program that we aired for 10 to 12 years. I don't know exactly how long the program was on the air with us. The story about him and what he said about gay marriage and then also our role here at American Family Radio. That story has broken into the mainstream news. Fox News website has a big story on it right now. This has been totally organic in Christian circles and now in the secular world in terms of the news event about it.
We're certainly not wanting to trumpet about it.
No, we didn't. You know, this wasn't something. We're not pounding our chest going, look, we're right and he's wrong. Ed, to review briefly, what happened here with between us and Alistair Begg?
Well, Alistair Begg, who is, as you mentioned, the pastor of Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, has a podcast. So this was not on his show, which his show that used to air on our radio network was simply an edited version of a sermon that he preached. But on a podcast, he was asked. He was being asked questions, but he volunteered the advice that he had given. This is back in September of 2023. It's really now just resurfaced. That when a grandmother asked him about attending her grandson's wedding, her grandson was marrying a transgender person. I'm not sure which way that is.
I think that's right.
Okay. And she was struggling with that. She loves her grandson. She wanted to know, should I go? Pastor Begg said, well, my answer is going to make some people upset. And he asked the grandmother, he's relating this story, does your grandson know that you disapprove of his lifestyle? Yes. Does he know how you feel about homosexual marriage? Yes. He said, then I advise you to go to the wedding and take a gift. If you don't, then you are only going to confirm in the mind of your grandson that you are what he already thinks about Christians, that you're judgmental and uncompassionate or something of that nature. Walker Wildman and I got on the phone days later and discussed this statement and this advice from Pastor Begg with two of the people who are on his staff working on his radio program. We expressed our absolute disagreement with that position and asked if Pastor Begg would be willing to recant and apologize, and then we could move on. And we were told he will in no way change his mind or apologize. This is what he believes.
Okay, what's wrong with what he's advocating for? Why is it a big deal?
Well, it is a big deal because this is an issue. The acceptance of the LGBTQ lifestyle is becoming a huge issue in the evangelical church. So this is not something that is just a put it on the shelf issue. This is confronting a lot of churches. But the advice for a Christian to attend a wedding that is contrary to what the Bible teaches is a very serious mistake. I likened it to what we would say about almost anything else. I use two examples here about almost anything else we would say, no, absolutely should not go.
Can I play the part of Pastor Begg for just
sure,
a minute?
Sure, sure. Okay.
Got to do it with the
no,
Scottish
accent. Well, yes. Well, no, let me play. Okay. So let's say Pastor Begg, again, we have a lot of respect for, and we didn't pick this fight. We didn't want this. This was totally on him. All on him. He's the one who voluntarily took this question on a podcast. He brought it up.
And by the way, doubled down on a sermon.
That's what we need to get. We'll get to that.
He's triple down. So
yeah, triple down.
So, Ed, I'm a grandfather. My granddaughter, you know, she wants to work at the strip club down there. She wants to strip and make a living. And I think I want to take her. You know, she's asked me would I drop her off for work and pick her up, and I just don't know whether I should do that or not. So, Pastor, again, if Pastor Begg were asked that question, I'm a grandfather. I just don't know. I don't feel right about doing this. Pastor Begg, can you help me? What should I do? What would he say?
If Pastor Begg used the same reasoning that he used on the wedding example,
same sex,
he would say, well, as long as your granddaughter knows, sir, that you disapprove of what she's doing and that it's a sin in the Bible,
right,
then yes, you should go and take a gift and go in and encourage her in her
so
work.
So that you're not judgmental.
So that otherwise, if you don't, your granddaughter is going to know that my suspicions about Christians were correct and you're judgmental and prudish, and boy, I'm never getting saved.
No, you know what? That isn't what Pastor Begg would say. He would
absolutely
say,
not.
He would say to the grandfather, absolutely not. You don't take your granddaughter to the work at the strip club.
Right.
That would mean you're giving tacit approval to
yes.
that behavior and that lifestyle.
That's right.
You can't do that. You're encouraging her in her sin.
Yes, and I see this is different. This is one of the things that Walker and I, then I'll open it up here. Yeah, I don't want to dominate. Yeah. But we, one of the things we talked about with Pastor Begg's representatives was that there are plenty of ways. In fact, this was what Walker said. He said there are plenty of ways to show love to people. Some of the people defending Pastor Begg are saying, no, you've got to show love to people who aren't Christians in order to lead them to Christ. Well, what Walker said, and it's absolutely true, is yes, there are plenty of ways you can take your granddaughter out to dinner. The one who wants you to come down to the strip club. You can take her out to dinner. You can pay her mortgage or pay her rent. You can buy her new tires. There's plenty of ways to show her that you love her and show the love of Christ without confirming in her mind and heart that what she's doing is okay in God's eyes. And that's part of the disagreement we had with Pastor Begg's.
All right, so we decided as a leadership team here to remove the radio program because he wouldn't recant. He wouldn't say, I made a mistake. I stepped in it. I'm sorry. Or even he wouldn't say, I can understand how people would feel the way that you guys do. I didn't even hear him say that. But anyway, we didn't do anything but wish Pastor Begg well. We just separated. We just said, we got to move on. We can't. That's an unacceptable answer. Well, somebody sent me the message that Pastor Begg had from the pulpit.
The following Sunday.
This past Sunday. Right, and he tripled down.
Yeah, he tripled down, and he did a little worse than that because he used Scripture to affirm his position, which is he used Luke chapter 15, and he did not just take his position and hold to it. Instead, he criticized those by calling them names if you disagree
with him.
You're
talking about
us. Yeah, us.
He didn't name us, but that's who he's talking about. People like us.
People that hold a biblical position that a homosexual marriage is a ceremonial act in which we are not going to participate in.
Okay.
And so, so he went on to say that he implied that those that criticized him were of like the angry brother in Luke chapter 15. He also accused us of being American fundamentalist, which he would never be a part of.
That's what he said. I'm not a part of that.
Yeah, I'm not a part of that. American fundamentalist. And he also implied that anything
American fundamentalists. What does he mean by that, Ed? Excuse me if you interrupted.
Sure.
Well, he's talking about and his implication in the course of talking about the parable of the prodigal son was that we were like Pharisees.
That's right. He said that.
He said that. And so when he says American fundamentalists, he's talking about evangelicals who are harsh and critical and not loving enough to try to reach out to people who are in sin.
As opposed to British Christians who, in his mind, are of different ilk than
right.
we are.
So for me, after listening to his sermon, the worst part about it for me is that he ignored purposefully or is blinded to the difference between attending a ceremonial act of homosexual marriage and loving your neighbor. Because none of us here, even Ed and Walker, none of us had any qualms or disagreements biblically of associating with or being around, or he said of anybody who's in sin. We don't have an issue with being at dinner and looking across.
Well, how can you be a witness if you never hang out with sinners at all?
Exactly. Right. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians
chapter 5. Yeah, so nobody's arguing that fact.
Nobody. But he implied that's what we're saying, and we're not.
You don't go to a homosexual wedding
ceremony.
If you say, I can't go to a homosexual wedding ceremony because I don't approve of that, that's immoral and wrong in the eyes of God.
Sure.
I'm not going to go sit there, sing their songs, watch them light candles together.
Right.
Clap when everybody claps at the end. I'm not going to throw rice at two men who walking out of the I'm not going to do that. I'm not celebrating, and I'm certainly not bringing them a gift.
Right.
Huh? And Pastor Ben said, bring them a gift. Yeah. I guess find out what register they're on.
Yeah.
You know.
He insulted us by saying that we don't want to be stained by other people's sin.
That's just garbage. That's just not true. That's an inaccurate presentation of the views of, quote, American fundamentalists.
That's right.
Don't you think?
Oh, no, it's absolutely wrong. But I will say this, and then we'll let Steve in here, okay? It is increasingly, that view is increasingly infiltrating into evangelical churches, and it is confusing
people. So you get the Revoice movement.
You get the Revoice movement. We've had Michael Perkins on. Anyway. We can explore those issues in more detail at a later time. So
Steve,
I probably said
one of our, I think it was Abe last night. He did deal with this last night. But somebody has made the argument that attending a wedding is not the same as attending a concert. You're not there as an observer. You're there as part of the covenant act. That's why they say if anybody here has a problem with this, speak now.
That's a good point.
We're
hold your peace.
Right. We are before God and these witnesses. We are, you know, so it's different. It's different than.
Well, the preacher says, I'm a minister. I've performed many, many weddings. At the end, I say, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. How can a Christian sit there and listen and applaud that line?
Yeah. That's
okay. This is bordering on blasphemy, because Christ chose the marriage union of a man and a woman as the symbol of himself and his church.
Yep.
If you attend a homosexual wedding, you are arguing, in essence, that if Christ wanted to, he could pick two men as the symbol of his relationship to the church. That's why I say you're getting close to blasphemy. Now, I do want to be fair to Pastor Begg. His representatives told us that Pastor Begg, agrees with our view on homosexuality and homosexual marriage. Where we differ is on whether a Christian can attend, but his sermon almost brings him to the place where he says it's okay for a Christian to go and celebrate the union of two men, and I'm saying that is wrong.
And what's furthermore, and if you got a problem with that, you're a Pharisee.
Yes.
Yep. Is that?
Yes.
That's what he said.
That's right.
That's exactly what he said. And that's what makes things worse here.
He also twisted the meaning of the parable of the prodigal son.
How?
Well, he twisted it by implying that going to a Christian going to a homosexual wedding is showing the love to the homosexual like the father showed to his younger son who was lost. But you know what? The father didn't go and live with the son in the pigsty.
That's right.
And take a gift.
No,
here, this will help you as you stay in the pigsty.
He waited for the son to repent.
Yes.
Once the son repented, then they celebrated.
Right.
The celebration came after the repentance, not as a result of their sin.
Yes.
You know what? I don't know Pastor Begg personally. He's a wonderful Bible expositor and evidently an excellent pastor to the church there. But he's just being hard-headed.
That's exactly right. Very, yep.
I don't know if it's Scottish stubbornism, if stubbornism is a word.
Stubbornism.
But you know what? He's wrong, and he knows it.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
I don't know him, but come on, man. This is not hard, okay?
Right.
If you have a son who's an alcoholic, and he says, Daddy, drive me to the bar.
Yeah, you're going to say no.
You're going to say, no, I'm not driving you to the bar. If you go to the bar, you're a grown man. That's your own choice. But I'm not
facilitating
it. I'm not going down there with you. You know, I'm not going down there and participating in your sin.
And I'm certainly not going to buy you a drink.
Right.
If you're an alcoholic.
Okay. But if you take Alistair Begg's view, then you have to say, I need to drive him to the bar and buy him a drink.
Go in with him.
Go in with him and drive, buy him a drink. But otherwise, he's going to think I'm a judgmental.
Yes.
Huh?
That's absolutely right.
That's the kind of logic we're talking about here.
Yes,
it is.
So anyway, we didn't start the fire here. All right.
It was always burning since it was burning.
This was Pastor Begg. God bless him. This was his decision to bring this up on a podcast. He didn't even have to bring it up. He brought it up on his own. So he wanted to say this and he wanted to make this point, and it put us in a predicament. Here at American Family Radio, because we've been airing his show for a long time, people calling us saying, what are you going to do? You agree with him on this? This is a serious issue. It is a serious issue.
And it's going to hurt his ministry beyond this.
This isn't a peripheral issue. This is a core issue to Scripture and to our
Absolutely.
And to what's going on in the church and in culture today. And our stand is same-sex weddings and marriages are illegitimate, biblically. They're illegitimate. And as you guys have said, we can find 1,001 ways to love homosexuals and gay people, and nobody's discouraging that at all. We have to
nobody's mix shunning them.
We have to mix with people in the world who don't agree with us in order to show the love of the Lord. And no question about that. Go ahead, Steve.
My prayer for Pastor Begg is that he does find some kind of repentance, because every movement that has gone off the rails started with a little crack.
That's right.
And you know, and Andy Stanley.
That's right.
Started
right.
with just, you know, but it then it grew to a full blown apostasy.
Well, you know, the part that I resent the most about the positions that people like Andy Stanley and Alistair Begg have taken, again, they are, I'm sure they're wonderful, they're godly men. In a lot of ways and have a lot of wisdom. But on this issue, what they've done here is, quite frankly, they've said, I don't want to be like Wildman or Tony Perkins or American Family Association. I don't want to be viewed as judgmental on this issue. So I'll say it's okay. I'll take the opposite view so that I'm not lumped in with those American fundamentalists.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? Who are oftentimes almost universally, what we say is misconstrued on purpose, especially in the secular media, to make us out to be things that we're not.
That's exactly right.
And when he calls us American fundamentalists
and Pharisees,
he's participating in what the media does.
Throwing us under the bus.
Right.
That's what it's doing here.
Good news is the Bible is extremely clear on this. We should not condone or participate in ceremonial
acts. In the unfruitful works of darkness, you said.
Right. That's right. Ephesians.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the program today. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow.